Today's Perek of Tanach is Shmuel Aleph, Perek Lamed. And we've been watching now our little split screen, on the one side of which we have what's happening with Shaul, the other side of which we have what's happening to David. And our remarkable moment that we've reached at this point is the night before. And the night before we find on the one side of our screen we have Shaul, who is lying on the ground and being lifted up and being fed his last meal, basically. So in a sense, he's sitting Shiva on himself. There's an image of Avelut as he lies on the ground and as he's being given to eat, as an oval would be given to eat. We find a similar idea by the marble itself, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits Shiva of the seven Yomim, the Yimei Evel. Or we have by HaKadosh Baruch Hu sat Shiva on his world, Kevayocho, before its destruction. Or we find the same thing by Aaron Uvanov, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shivas Yomim, don't go out, exactly the dinim of the Ovel, before the death of the Shnei B'nai Aaron. And here we have Shaul, who knows clearly that he's going to die. He's going out the next morning, and he's going to be going with his children, with his head held high, making no further efforts to fight for the very things that he gave his entire life to support and to believe in. And we're going to see that he does this in a way that is meant to protect Yisrael from any, as much damage as possible, and certainly from any Chil Hashem that could come from the event. And that's on the horrific one side of the night screen. The other side of the night screen has David during the night finding out to his relief that he's being sent away. He manages to get all of his men away. And this is an event that actually is recorded in the in Divrei Hayomim, that David did not fight, was sent away by the Sarnei Plishtim. That was the important point. That's all that's recorded, is that they sent him away, so that he did not need to respond in that war. And that's what allows us our split screen. They never get together now. Not only that, we, from this point on, we view the two screens as showing two different stories. One, a story of success, in which tragedy is turned to immense success, and the other in which the tragedy becomes horrific and unbearable. And this is now the two screens that show us something more important, and that is they show us the transition of the Malchut. So they show us the end of Shaul and the beginning of David, now on our split screen. And so the first screen that appears to us over here is what happens when David comes home. Now, you'll recall that the Plishtim were taunting Achish and saying, you know, if it were so important indeed that these guys be given Ziklag and that they protect, as you believe, the flanks of the Plishtim, why did you leave Ziklag unprotected? Why did you send them home to continue watching the flanks? Did you put other people there? So there's something wrong with your entire strategy. And indeed, that is exactly what was happening. So on our screen, we find David arriving now, 2 days later. So on the third day, they arrive, and they discover that they have been invaded. Amaleki pashtu el Negev vel Ziklag vayaku et Ziklag vayisrfu ota ba'esh. They come back to a town burned to the ground that had been left unprotected. They find that the Amalekites had gone off with their entire families. Vayishbu et anashim asher ba mikaton ve'ad gadol lo hamitu ish, which of course they couldn't know. All they know is everybody's gone. This is a terrifying situation. Vayinagu ve'yachudu darkam, and they walked off. I mean, they could just imagine their wives now being raped by these Amalekites, their kids being used for God knows what. It's a disaster. And they are totally broken. Vayavod David v'anashav la'ir, they come back to their homes. Ve'ama sherito, and they go and they lift up, they both now, v'neitz rabesh, v'neshem v'neim notim nishbu, they find that everybody's been kidnapped. Vayisa David v'ama sherito et kolam vayifku, they just sit down and cry. Ad asher ein mem koach lifkot. They just, this is it. This is like the last straw. Ushtei neshei David nishbu, Achinoam Yisraelit, Avigail Ishet Navalat Karmelit. There's nothing left. Vatetzer le David ma'od, This was David's worst moment because everybody blamed him for everything that had happened. Because now, besides the fact that he had personally possibly lost everything that he had, everybody is blaming him. Yamru ha'am l'solko, ki mara nefesh kol ha'am, ish abanav ve'abnotav. And they blamed him entirely for what had happened. Vaitchazek David ba'adonai Elohav. And here, the first time we see David acting as he expresses himself in Tehillim, he does not hold on to God. He becomes strong within his relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Vayitchazek. So now, David expresses that element of his melucha that becomes so expressed later on, in the midst of personal tragedy, in the midst of an impossible personal situation, he is able not to rise above the personal, which in a sense is easy to do. And that was what he did in Ramah, and that didn't work. We saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Shmuel there, and they were sitting, and they were Isaac ben Yeshalaylam, and anybody that came was suddenly taken to a different madriga, and sees now the world from a whole different perspective of Ruchnias, of the Beis HaMikdash, of Yerushalayim. But the moment that they go home, everything goes exactly back to the way it was. So the integration of two levels of reality, we never saw. And indeed, that is what is the essence of David throughout his life. And that's the essence of Malchus Yisrael, is that there's a complete integration where what people mistakenly believe that the tachlis is spirituality is a terrible mistake. And the result of belief in spirituality is moving to tzfat and becoming weird. No, seriously, that's why it's called tzfat, is because it's tzofet. It just floats. Floating is very close to shoteh. Shoteh means shat apnei amayim. Something is tzaf apnei amayim, it's insane. So it may give you the rama, in the sense that's why it's called tzfat also, because it's tzofet. You're able to look. Looking from that level is to float. That's essentially the interrelationship to two levels. Whereas the whole nature of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash is tremendous presence and the power of being there. And that's the exact opposite of the Goyim's vision of spirituality. It's the vision of Kedusha. Kedusha is, as Barnea is pointing out, is the Evan. It's the stone, the Evan HaShekiah. It's where things are really built into the nature of the way the very grounded planet is. And that, of course, rumors back in Yaakov Avinu, the Mokrim in the Beis HaMikdash was at the bottom of the ladder and at the top of the ladder. So you need to be really, it has to be Nitzav Arza, Rosh HaMagia L'Shamayim. And this is here for the first time David expresses this Shiluv entirety. In its entirety. In other words, he's crying to the point, Ashurim Koach Lifkot. It's not that he lost his connection to the world, which in a sense is what Shaul did. It's all or nothing. It was either he was completely involved in his plans, in making things happen, in trying to protect himself to the point of madness, or he completely relinquished any sense of, let me try to do something about it, and give myself over entirely to Midas Hadin and be Sameach in the Midas Hadin. What happens to David here, exactly in the split screen, when Shaul, as we'll see on the other side, is going to his death with his head held high, not recognizing any options. What happens at the moment that David is mitchazek, in his terror and in his pain, is he realizes there are options, which they were all lying down on the ground. There's no option. All of a sudden, this was not the first thing he did. This was only after his mitchazek. So, Vayomer David al Aviatar, a kohen, ben Achimelech, the one child that had been left in the destruction of Nov Ir HaKohanim, bring me the ephod. Adishan al Aviatar. Vayagesh Aviatar at ephod al David, he brings the ephod for David to ask. Vayish al David badunai leimor. What should I do? Herdof achare hagdud hazeh. And if I am meant to chase after them, I'm already late, and I'm not going to wait for your answer. Therefore, I ask two questions at once. And from here, we learn that, indeed, if time is of the essence, you need not go through the whole technical question one, answer. Question two, answer. Ha'asigena. And if I chase, will I catch them? Vayomelo Radof, Yasek Tasig, Vatzel Tatzil. And this was a remarkable moment because their tendency, everyone, didn't even occur to them that there was any hope of seeing their wives again. It was all over. That's the point of crying till there's no energy left to cry. I don't see options. The beauty over here is that the very Shaul, who could have seen options and uses the Navi to remove options, so Yesh Bote Kimitkarot Chorev, as Chazal said, is in David the Yesh Bote as the Boteach, and on the contrary, is Matzil. Vayelech David hu v'shesh meot ish asher ito, and so he, 600 men, go along with him, and they all come together, all 600 of them, arrive at the edges of Nachal Bissor. And then, Hanotarim Amadu, the men who couldn't take any more, stayed there at Nachal Bissor. Barnea, maps. So now 200 of the men, as we'll see, ended up remaining on Nachal Bissor, while the rest continued to chase after the whoever they were that had taken Tziklag, the raiders of Tziklag. Vayirdov David hu ve'arbamiot ish. So David and his 400 men, and it's interesting that we're back down to the 400 men, because this is the time that we're going to actually find the reference in Chazal to the 400 men of Esav. Vayamdu matayim ish asher pigru me'avorat nachal habesor. And the 200 men that just couldn't continue going, they were mefagrim, in other words, they were left behind. And they remained back to take care of things on Nachal Bissor, to make sure nobody takes whatever they had left. They find a guy wandering about, take him to David, hoping to get information from him. And the guy was at the point of death. They give him, now they revive him. Shnei tzimukim means clusters. You remember, we saw before, they used to keep raisins on the cluster as the grape. So they gave him a slice of the pressed figs, a couple of tzimukim, vayochal, there was enough sugar there, vatashuv rucho elav, so that he came back to life. Kilo achal lechem lo shatamayim shlosha yamim v'shlosha lilot. He had been left to die by the band in the midbar. Who are you? Where do you come from? I was captured, Eved Liish Amaleki. So that one of the Amalekites, I got sick. It's not 3 days since they just left me in the desert to die, being on their way fast to their stronghold. Anachtu Pashatnu, Negev Akreti, Valashel Yudah. Well, Negev Kalev, we just came back from like this major raid, and I was really sick. So we had gone through the area of the Negev that belongs to Yehuda, Kreti, which belongs to the Plishtim, and that's they were called the Kreti, Crete, and the Negev that belonged to Yehuda, but was Miyuchet for the family of Kalev, and which of course was David's family. And we attacked that town, Tziklag, where that David guy is, and we burnt it down to the ground. At Tziklag Saraf Nubaish. Vayomrei lo David, okay, this is your choice. Atoridini alagdiraza, you're going to show me the stronghold? Vayomer, well, swear to me by God that you're not going to kill me. Vayomrei shavali veloim timiteni vim tezgirini biadoni, you will not. It's all I need is after showing you, you give me back to them. Voritkal agdiraza, I'm going to show you where they hang out. And so David did, Vayorideo, Vinid, Tushima, Pneka, Aretz, Ochlim, Vishatim, Vichogigin. Never occurs to them, as far as they know, David's in the war. He and all of his men, they've got like a week to have fun before anybody's even going to know what happens. So they're sitting there without even posting a guard. They're eating, drinking, celebrating, Bechola, Shalala, Gadol. I mean, these guys are rich. They didn't just make off with Tziklag, they made off with the whole area. Meretz Plishtim, Meretz Yehuda. So remember, we saw that this was total war. So the Plishtim, and this is what the Yisraeli Plishtim were saying. You left your flanks unprotected. What's the big deal here? That you're taking, that's all we need. It made much more sense. Protect the flanks. We need the Ivrim with us, where they can become a fifth column. At least like this, they'll do their job. Even if they're only protecting themselves, they'll protect us. And so David goes after them. Vayakim David mi'aneshef yada erev lemochrotam. This, of course, one of the riots of the Gemara. How we view neshef is neshef yom. Neshef list becomes like a fundamental use of the word. So David, it takes now two nights and one day, says the Medrash. Velonim lat me'am ish, he gets every last one of them, which, of course, was the mitzvah that Shaul was dying for in the other part of the split screen, to destroy every last one of Amalek. So he is being told at the time, as the Pasuk says in Divrei HaYamim, that he didn't listen to the call of Hashem, as Shmuel was telling him, you got to die, because he didn't listen to the call of Amalek. And here David is now for 3 days wiping them out. Not one person got away, except for the 400 men that had been with Esav. Kimar bameot ish na'ar asher achvu al gemalim vayanusu. Those were, as the Medrash points out, it says vayoshav vayamu Esav the darko seira. What happened to the 400 men that were with him? First made a big deal. Arbameot ishimo. All of a sudden it says where Esav walks, he goes away without mentioning the arbameot asherimo. They did not want, after they saw the goddess of Yaakov, to stand up against Yaakov of him. So they were nishmetu echad echad. They had left the ematai paralem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here, the arbameot ishnar asherachu al agmalim. Those were, and this of course is the remnants in Kabbalah to the Midas Adin, is the Gomel. And that's the 400 that were on the gemalim that had originally been with Esav as a destructive element of Din, which is of course Amalek. That's why they were there. That's Aliphaz now, who is the son that comes through Esav, that's Molid Amalek. These 400 escaped because of the schus of those who didn't want to fight initially Yaakov Avinu, and they were connected, the 400 men that were with the other Edomi, who was the Admoni, who was the murderer, so to speak, that Shmuel had originally seen in David, who was connected to Esav, and who needed to be the one who would be the Akev by Akeva Shal Esav in the end. Vayatzel David et kol asher lakhu Amalek, he got back everything, not only the things that had been taken from Tziklag, but everything that had been taken from all over, as we'll see. Vechtena shavitzil David, v'non ne'edar lehem, they didn't miss out on a thing. Minakaton v'yad agadol, v'yad banim, u'vanot, u'mishalal v'at kol asher lakhu lehem, even much more than they originally had had. Everything. Hakol eishiv David. Vayikach David et kol hatzon v'habakar na'agu lifnei hamikneh ahu v'yomru zeh shlal David. All of the extra things that had been taken that did not belong to the men in Siklag, that David took for himself, and the men had that going in front. Again, can they get the whole story with Esav, like Yaakov sent it in front? As if to say, l'shevach v'odah, look at the greatness of David. They get back to Nachal Besor, and there's the 200 men. They come out and they greet them and they find their wives and their children. How is everything doing? Meanwhile, the rotten people that were with him, we found that he had a very, very mixed band of people. And the rotten people of the people that were with him. Now, wait a minute over here. You know the old story of the red hen, right? I mean, Yana Shalochuimi, why should they get any of this? They didn't come with us to fight. I mean, we'll give them back their wives and kids, I guess. You know, that's only fair. But let them leave. They didn't want to fight. They didn't have the energy to fight. Let them take him and move away. Vayomer David, gentlemen, gentlemen. This is simply not right. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this miracle, Hetashenatan Adonai Lanu, Vayishmorotanu. I mean, you realize what this was after we'd all given up, and they all recognized it, obviously. It was only David. They had given up. We'd all given up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us what we had doubled. Come on. Vayitenet Agdur Abba Aleinu Biyadeinu. You got to be crazy to listen to people like you. This is vicious. כי כחלק היורד במלחמה וכחלק היושב על הכלים יחתו ויחלוקו. The din is, and this Chazal tell us, this he learned from Avram Avinu. Because Avram Avinu has said, Biladai, rak asher achlu ha-ne'arim, the ne'arim are the ones who yoshev al hakelim in the milchemes Avram, with the malachim, v'chelek ha-anashim, that's the chelek ha-anashim ha-ochim ba-milchama, that I keep, because that goes to the soldiers. But I take nothing from you, he tells the Melech Sidon. But that's the point, because that is even the ne'arim that were being shemer on the kelim, and the anashim are the ones that were ochim ba-milchama. So that really what David was doing was restoring Anhaga that had been created by Avram Avinu through Moshe Rabbeinu. So Medrash makes a specific point. And nonetheless, the Pasuk says, from that day on, that became one of the most fundamental rules of the army of Israel. But, say Chazal, note, it says Miayomu Vamala. Why does it say Vayomu Vahala? Umala means up, meaning back in time. Not downwards in time. Oh, because the truth is it came yet from the days of Avram and was recommitted by Moshe by Kabbalah Satera to give over. As we know, we really are Meshubit only on the basis of Teras Moshe, who gave us over the Sanoga of Avram. Nonetheless, since Moshe, David was the one who was Mechadish this halacha, Likavavi Israel Nikra al Shemo. So it was considered to be as if he was the one. Why is this? Teaches us that somebody who is able to be Emet Beperetz Keneged Rishayim and Belial, he is the one who is Zeche. That's me. Shmalakam the Davar Hashem. Start up with this. You start up with me. Vayavo David al Tziklag Vayishalach Me Ashalal Lezikne Yehudah Le'eil Le'mor. David took advantage of this moment to show himself as what he was. To all of the people who had once hid him and had protected him, his friends in Yehudah, he sent them that shalom as gifts for their investment in him. Which, of course, was meanwhile a message, the shalal that Shaul, vayetala shalal, the shalal that Shaul was not makpid on. This was given to me as I killed Amalek from the shalal of Yehuda and from Plishtim. This goes to you guys. And this is almost like a song, what we read now. Le'asher be'Beitel, v'la'asher be'Ramot Negev, v'la'asher be'Yatir, v'la'asher be'Aroer, v'la'asher be'Sifmot, v'la'asher be'Shtemoa, v'la'asher be'Rachal, v'la'asher be'Arei Rachmeli, v'la'asher be'Arei Akini, v'la'asher be'Chorma, v'la'asher be'Chorasham, v'la'asher be'Atach. This sounds like the Masa'ot of Bnei Yisrael. Has that same rhythm, the same tone of the description of the Nesiyah B'Midbar, which is where David was, before the Knesa in Eretz Yisrael. And of course, La'asher B'Chevron, as we'll see, becomes very important because that's where the Malchut begins, and that is the contrast of this split screen. U'l'chol ha'mikomot asher talach sham David, once upon a time, as a refugee from Shaul, who v'anashav, they are now restoring to those people what it was that a melech should have given him in the first place. And indeed, we find a remarkable thing that in Divrei Hayomim, after talking about now the story of David and Hebron and the great gedula now of his growing malchut, in which vayikaptzu ko Yisrael al David Hebrona. And this, we haven't gotten to here yet. And the whole list of the Rosh HaGiborim, Asher LeDavid, the ones who were mitchaskim imo b'malchuto, al kol Yisrael l'hamlicho, this we're going to see. After this whole story, we have an amazing perek in Divrei Hayomim that says, ve'ela haba'im al David le'tziklag. So that tziklag, clear in this, it begins with saying, oh, that sur mipnei Shaul ben Kish. While before, in other words, there were people who were smart enough to recognize that Tziklag, the giving of Tziklag to David by Achish, was a shadow government. And it was the beginning of the nascent Malchus of David. They recognized, they understood themselves that Shaul was finished, that he was leading Yisrael to his disaster, as we saw, especially according to the Shittas HaGa'inim, that the whole story with the Eshes HaOv was in Shaul's imagination, and she had made up the story, as you usually do at a seance, because she understood that that's what life was, and threw it back in his face. And he recognized it as the absolute truth, as if it came from Shmuel. It was so clear. So Kol Shekein, there were people that had actually come out, and the pasuk says, amazingly, Shaul's family, Achei Shaul from Binyamin, had come out to Tziklag. So that they had come, and some had come even before, they had gone out to Matsada in the time that he was in the Ein Gedi area. There were people who had joined him there. But this was the moment. Tziklag was the change. And the moment of victory over Amalek in Tziklag, and taking over miraculously all of the things that Amalek had been poshed, sending them into Yehuda, there was no more powerful statement of the alternative to Shaul and defeat and disaster. On the other side of the screen, we have the new young king with victory, Shalal, Mishlal Oyvei Hashem, and so we can really feel at last the transition of the Malchus in every way coming to the disastrous end of Shaul, which now appears on the other screen tomorrow.